Zechariah chapter 6. Again I lifted up my eyes, and saw, and behold, four chariots came out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. In the first chariot were red horses, in the second chariot black horses, in the third chariot white horses, and in the fourth chariot dappled horses, speckled horses, all of them powerful. Then I asked the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my lord?" The angel answered me, "These are the four spirits of the sky, or of heaven, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth." Well, God makes his angels spirits, David says. And so I think that these are all ultimately angels, and when we think of horses and chariots, we think of the cherubim, which were a kind of a symbol in visual form of the angels. And so there are chariots packed with all these very powerful horses. And although they may have been manifest in armies and peoples on the earth, the point is this is a vision of heaven. This is a peek into how God sees things. So he goes on, "The one with the black horses goes out toward the north country, and the white went out after them, and the speckled ones went toward the south country. The strong went out and sought to go that they might walk back and forth through the earth or through the land. And he said, 'Go around and throughout the land.' So they walked back and forth through the land. Then he called to me and spoke to me, saying, 'Behold, those who go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country.'" This is rather similar to the vision in chapter 1. The idea is that God, through the angels, had arranged things in the north country, Babylon or Persia, so that his people could return and rebuild the temple. And what you see then is that God is hugely powerful and active behind the scenes. Daniel, prophet Daniel, when he came to the end of the 70 years, he thought the time was up, and he's like, "God, why aren't you doing anything?" And it was the same with a number of the faithful at the time. "How long? Why aren't you doing something?" And the answer was in these visions that, "Look, I am working. Yep, behind the scenes, there's horses and chariots of angels going around all throughout the land of Israel, preparing things, going backwards and forth. And the north country has now been calmed and put into a situation where you can return." But the tragedy is that most of them prefer to stay in exile. They didn't take seriously the call that Zechariah makes, "Flee from the north country. Come on, flee Babylon, leave Babylon," as Isaiah puts it, because they were just comfortable where they were. And this is the trouble, that the call to go to God's kingdom, to restore his kingdom, to do his work in the ruins of Jerusalem or the temple as it was, people don't want that. They prefer to stay where they are. We're all rather conservative. We'd all rather stay where we are. And this is the radical call of the gospel, to leave Babylon, to leave what is comfortable and safe, and do God's work. "The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, 'Take of them of the captivity,'" that is the exiles who were still there in the north country, "'even Heldai, Tobijah, and Jedaiah, and come the same day and go into the house of Josiah, where they have come from Babylon. Yes, take silver and gold, make crowns, and set them on the head of Joshua the high priest, and speak to him, saying, Thus says Yahweh of armies, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build Yahweh's temple.'" Well, we saw earlier that there were two special people. There was Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel, who was in the line of David and whose name means the branch from Babylon. And I think the idea was that those two men in the power of the Spirit, as we saw in the vision of the lampstands, they could have been the king and the high priest in this restored kingdom. But Zerubbabel failed. He cleared off back to Babylon. And I think that strange vision we had in chapter 5 about the scroll flying off back to Babylon, to the land of Shinar, I think that's talking about that. But now, God takes Joshua, the high priest, and he says he is going to be the branch. he has a crown of gold put on his head. So he becomes a king priest. And of course his name, Joshua, is the Hebrew form of Jesus. And he shall build Yahweh's temple. Even he shall build Yahweh's temple and shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. He shall be a priest on his throne. In other words, he will be a king and a priest. The crowns shall be to Helam, to Bijah and Jedaiah, and to Hen, son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in Yahweh's temple. Those who are far off shall come and build in Yahweh's temple, and you shall know that Yahweh of armies has sent me to you. Now notice the next bit. This will happen if you will diligently obey the voice of Yahweh your God. So this is not saying this is going to happen. This was talking about what could have happened if they were obedient. But they weren't. That's the tragedy. They weren't. Because Joshua the high priest, who's now being set up here as the king as well as the priest, seeing Zerubbabel has failed, he also seems to fail. And God tried by all means to bring about his purpose to restore the kingdom, but it didn't really happen because they just didn't really want it. We're told that he shall build Yahweh's temple, etc. But when they got back there, when you read in Ezra and Nehemiah, they weren't really bothered about building the temple. As Haggai says, you have built yourselves very nicely decorated houses, whilst my house lies in ruins. In Malachi, he complains that you won't even shut the doors in the temple unless you're paid to do it. So all these great potentials didn't come about, and that's the tragedy, real tragedy. And God has set up potentials for us with all these armies of angels, chariots of angels that we saw at the beginning of this chapter, to enable us to do his work. There were good works prepared from the foundation of the world for you and me to do, Ephesians chapter 2 says. And God has empowered us potentially to do it, but you've got to do it and to trust in God and put your hand in his and trust in this rather than be caught up with the easy life.